Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. Tonight, we will have Kelly Ward and Andy Shaw and myself taking questions. Dr. Allen is unavailable, so she'll be back next week. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. So tonight we have Kelly Ward. She's a student coach for the Wan Institute, and Andy Shaw. He is a former student and also a coach with the Wan Institute. Welcome to the show, Kelly and Andy.
Thank you. How are you, Sue?
Thank you.
I'm good. Kelly's been on with us before. She's one of the regular co-hosts, and she helps Dr. Allen with her ladies groups. I want to say a little bit about what we have going on. Dr. Allen has some ladies groups. They're private. They've been going on, and the current ladies in the group have first choice to stay. And since they generally stay, have been staying for the past year or two, so the openings are, we never really have any openings. So with that, starting in January, Kelly and myself will be opening up some more ladies groups or privates. And then we also have Patricia Eltinge will take over doing life scripts and couples counseling. And with that, if you want any information on the upcoming groups or privates, you can reach me at the Wan Institute at 949-723-0338. Or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. And that's DrPatAllen. So tonight we have a former student, Andy Shaw, and he'll give you the male perspective of Dr. Allen's work. Andy, do you want to tell the audience a little bit about you and how you found Dr. Allen and how she helped you?
Sure. Well, I started with a friend of mine who was recovering from mourning after the loss of her husband. And I had asked my girlfriend at the time to marry me, or was going to. She saw the ring and she walked out of the room. That was in February. Yeah, right. That was in February, and in June I did it again. Saw the ring, walked out of the room again. I'm like, okay, well, I've had enough. I got to figure out what's wrong with me. And my friend introduced me to Pat Allen, and I started going on Wednesday nights, and I never stopped.
And then you became a student as well. You were taught under Dr. Allen all of her tools.
I was very, very fortunate for it. I'm incredibly grateful because it literally just changed my life.
Yeah. We've had a couple of the guests call and they liked your information because you talk about Dr. Allen's tools in detail, and they really like the male perspective. The stroke and stand, especially in the one about, I think you, last time, do you remember what you talked about last time? Because they really enjoyed that.
I'm not entirely sure, but I've actually re-downloaded the, let me start over. I keep the communications, the Wan Institute communications manual on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I keep several different things on my phone. Can I share a couple of them with you?
That's it. That I would love for you to share them.
So there's two of my favorites that I give to people routinely. One of them is an Einstein energy quote, which is everything is energy, and it's all there is. Hold on a sec. Watch the frequency of reality you want, and you control. You cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way, and that is not philosophy, it's physics. And then the other one is called as never my responsibility. It is never my responsibility to give what I really don't want to give, sacrifice my integrity to anyone, do more than I have time to do, drain my strength for others, listen to unwise counsel, retain an unfair advantage or unfair relationship, be anyone but exactly who I am, conform to unreasonable demands, be 100% perfect, follow the crowds, put up with unpleasant people, bear the burden of another's misbehavior, do something I cannot really do, endure my own negative thoughts, feel guilty toward my inner desires, submit to overbearing conditions, and meekly let life pass me by.
Those are good quotes.
Those are excellent quotes. It's just an idea that we don't have to please anybody. The idea on this thing is to please yourself, and then it's everything else gets better from there.
Uh-huh. A lot of people, you know, the communication about, you know, Pat talks about the when somebody tries to guiltify you, seduction. Do you remember talking about those tools, the games people play?
I do, and I remember that Eric Byrne has a great book.
Yeah,
Eric Byrne has a great book on the topic on what games are afoot, so you know what games are being played and how the rules are played. And then learning this stuff the rational way, there's a table on WantInstitute.net, rational versus emotional talk. If you want to be a rational human being, learn the words.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want to change for 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, listen to other people talk. And in your mind, change the you shoulds and you must to, hey, I don't want. And then over time, you'll start to hear yourself talk, and you can change your own words. But we oftentimes don't hear ourselves talk until we learn how to listen to ourselves.
That's a good point. The tool chart, I've switched it. It's now on drpatallen.com website, all of the tools that you were talking about. We moved it over to the main website. It might still be on wantinstitute.net. But I might have it in two places for easy access. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And for anybody that wants to call in, we've got Kelly, myself, and Andy. Are you willing to take questions if they want your feedback?
I sure am. I'm all yours.
Okay. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you have a question for either Kelly or myself, or if you'd like a man's perspective, you can ask it with Andy. Kelly, do you have anything to say to the audience?
I just want to say I'm really glad Andy's back with us tonight. His male perspective is always welcome and always incredibly interesting.
It is. We get the same one. Andy, are you currently engaged or do you have what's going on in your life?
Well, a few years ago I had cancer, and so now I'm just trying to take care of myself.
Uh-huh.
And in doing so, I'm also recognizing good relationships,
uh-huh,
and healthy relationships.
Okay.
So for now, I'm good where I'm at, but I'm always looking.
Okay. So Andy's single.
That's right.
Yeah, he used to help
us. You heard it here first, ladies.
He used to help Pat. A lot of people may recognize Andy. He was always helping Pat with the Monday night LA seminars, and he was at the Wednesday night LA seminars when we were conducting them before COVID. And then Dr. Allen retired, and she's now currently just doing some small semi-private groups. But again, if you want, the WAN Institute is still open and available. We have coaches Kelly, myself, and Patricia Eltage, and I'm sure Andy would be willing to hop on if somebody wants a male perspective to have some. We can teach you the tools, and we can teach you how to get into healthy relationships. And the tools are you can use in relationships and also with your family, at work. They work for all kinds of situations. Do you know, Andy, do you want to give the audience example of the tools when they are used at work to protect you from being rational, not emotional?
Well, I use the want and not wants. I stay away from the shoulds and you need tos.
Uh-huh.
And I share that information. I'm like, hey, when, and I actually challenge people when I talk to them. I said, hey, you know, if we're going to have this conversation, I want to share a sentence with you. And I'll say, you need to do something. And I'll ask them, do you feel the stress in your body, the angst? And they usually say yes, or they're not paying attention, one of the two. And then I'll say the same thing, but I will start with, I want you to. And I'll ask them, how's that feel in your body too? And I'll remind them that when you change the words, you change the energy between two people. Uh-huh. You can do it at any given time.
Uh-huh.
So even today, someone said, I got you, which is fine. But it's, I got you, as long as there's something to back it up. So, you know, how do you know you love yourself? You know, the only way you know you love yourself is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
That's true. Yes. So, yeah. Kelly, do you have any examples from any of your call-in ladies? I have one that I can share.
Yeah, I have actually one of my call-in ladies is having issues and problems at work. And she was having a hard time. She was a disconnect with respect to how you can use the tools and even the high bi-letter scenario with work people. And so I was going over that with her. What would you guys have, what advice would you have given her with respect to using the tools and even the high bi-letter in a work situation?
Well, what's the work situation? I didn't hear what was the problem at work.
Oh, the problem was is that she is on a team and she's the team lead. But another girl who wanted to be the team lead keeps butting in and redirecting the team members off of task so that it's causing a delay and causing her as the team leader to look bad.
Well, you would use the tools, the stroke. And I this is what I would tell her, the script to say, you know, take the lady aside and say, I appreciate you want to take control of the group. I'm sure you have all the knowledge. However, I'm the team leader and I'm the one that's giving out the directions. What do you think about following my lead? That's what I would do. And, you know, Andy, do you have any other input on how you would fix that situation? That's using the stroke and stand method of Dr. Allen's.
I like that. I can't think of anything else I would do other than, I'd start with that first.
Yeah, you have to stroke them for wanting to be the leader, taking over your position. And then you make your stand. However, I'm the leader and I don't want to confuse the other group with two leaders, so any kind of format. And then you clean it up with a win-win. What do you think about following directions like everybody else, or maybe, you know, ask for a promotion to be a leader in another group, give it a situation that she can, you know, it could be a win-win either way.
I agree. And that is the tool I gave her. And one of the hardest things that we have is when somebody doesn't know the Dr. Allen material and they will not communicate, negotiate. They don't know how to apply those tools. They don't do it. So
yeah, but you can teach. You can go over the people. You can go over these tools three times to the person, and then you have to take it to a higher power because she's the higher. You know, she's the boss over this girl. So you do three stroke and stands. Might be a week apart. But then you have to take it and get it fixed by somebody else because you warned her three times.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So we are at time number two. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully I'll be able to update you with something positive.
Well, yeah. One of the things I have a lot of is that ladies, their boyfriends cheat on them. But they're committed, but there's no ring on the finger and they're mad that he can't do that to me again. And they're so mad. And I have to tell them he has every right to cheat on you. Relationships are a risk. And they seem to think I can have some magic wand to keep the guy from ever cheating again. How would you handle that situation, Andy, when the ladies they've been cheated on and they're mad at the guy and they want to tell him he never can do that again? How does that work?
I tell them, give them every right to do it.
But yeah.
If you do it, here's the price tag.
Yes, that's what I say. I tell them. Yeah.
And make sure it's high enough that you're willing to pay it. You're willing to enforce it.
Yeah.
And you're okay with yourself when it's all said and done if you choose not to pay that.
Yeah. Well, I recommended this lady that she didn't have a ring. I said that if, you know, he pretty much wants her to forgive him, which I understand, but the price went up. Basically, they were intimate, but there was no getting engaged. There was no, after a year, no engagement. So I told her to up the ante that he, you know, he hurt her. So this is the ante if he wants her. And she felt it was too much. But I said, do you value yourself? Because you're, you know, you're letting him, it's kind of like you're the doormat. So she did it. And now he's considering an engagement ring to get her back. So that's, you know, a lot of ladies don't set high, healthy boundaries. They're too weak and the men walk over them.
And I don't understand that one bit because, oh my God, do I love women? And from any worthy woman, whatever wall I have to jump over to get inside and be with you, I will do everything I can to do that.
But not if the woman if she doesn't set healthy boundaries and she goes along with his program and doesn't, you know, go along with, you know, she wants to be married, but she doesn't, she goes along with his time frame and doesn't have any standards on when she wants to be married. It kind of like, it doesn't give her any leverage that she'll ever get what she wants out of a relationship.
You know, that's why I like the relationship contract, and I like it for single people. Because it really kind of gives you an idea of what your boundaries are. Where are you? How far are you willing to go?
Yes.
How far are you really not willing to go?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for time, space, money, and play. And play is sexual, non-sexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is your minimum boundary? I want a week, a night a week. Make that happen or lose me.
Yeah. But you have to negotiate, not be mad at them, and then expect them to know offhand. A lot of women expect men to mind read. That seems to be the number one question. He works too much, and he never wants to see me. And then I go, well, do you ask him for time? No, he should know.
Mind reading drives me nuts. Oh, my God. Tell me what you want.
Well, part of it, yeah, some of them don't know how to speak up rationally. They, you know, they just bark when the guy doesn't do it right and then it falls apart. So,
well, you know, what was interesting? You know, it actually changed something for me.
What?
Was I didn't know until I got to Pat Allen that women know what they want by knowing what they don't want.
Uh-huh.
So I started asking women, what don't you want?
And what did they say?
They were speechless for a minute. Like, wait a minute.
They are. Because they only know what they want.
I'm like, well, are you feminine or are you masculine? Because if we're too masculine, we're not going to mesh well anyways.
Yeah.
And if we're too masculine, we'll just be friends and that's fine. But let's get as much of that information up front as possible so we can make better decisions.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So when you're out dating... Okay, I'm sorry, what?
That's an interesting thing, too. So I have the same thing. The ladies are always asking me, why do they cheat? I don't have an answer, really.
What's your
opinion? They say we're engaged, we're in a relationship, we're in a long-term relationship, but he cheated. So, Andy, why do they?
I've never been a cheater, so I don't know. But I can only imagine that because they can. And the price is low. Like, what is she going to do? She's going to forgive me? So what? I can do this and do that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the price tag?
Yeah.
When the price tag gets high and you know it up front, like, we don't normally storm buildings with armed guards without a really good plan.
Right.
And a woman's got to have the equivalent of an armed guard out front. Say, hey, you can do that, but when you come back, you're officially an enemy of the state. Be prepared.
That's a good interpretation of that.
I love that. That's perfect. I don't think they do. I don't think they set the price tag high enough for that behavior.
Boundaries on what they want and what they don't want. They don't they don't inform the guy what their boundaries are, and if he does this, you know, what the price tag is going to be. So he goes with the flow and sees she's so easygoing that he can do whatever he wants with her.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I have two different kinds of women in these two women in one group that I'm dealing with. One is what I would call, I'll just be honest. She's a doormat and she'll let him do anything. And the other one is, oh my goodness, how can I say? There's no nice way to say it. She's a pouting princess. So, like, you know, she's high maintenance. Two totally different things, but they neither one have this price tag for infidelity. And so, interestingly enough, on both sides of that spectrum, they're both getting cheated on repeatedly, but they keep continuing to allow it. And, of course, what you allow continues.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you practice is how you practice is how you play.
Good point.
This is how they're going to run the relationship. It's not like they're cheating on them. This is the way they run the relationship. I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be with them.
Yeah.
Until there's a price tag high enough and a value worth staying for that I won't go to this other person. No, I love the statement, women are like flowers, lovable because they exist. They don't have to do anything. But flowers also protect themselves.
Yes.
So even the most vulnerable thing out there still has a defense mechanism.
Yes, that's true. So let me ask you something, just throwing this out there because I want to give information for the audience. We don't have any callers, so I'm trying to get the most advantage from everybody, beings I'll ask the questions on their behalf. So let's say the lady's been cheated on and she still loves the guy and wants him back. What would she do to have the relationship start again without, I would say don't punish him. What would you say to start the relationship back off? Because they all think it's over. You know, block him, don't talk to him again. What are two different options that these ladies can do?
One, ask for time. When is it convenient?
Uh-huh.
Let respect that mind, the left side mind.
Yes.
And then two, so I would go in with the asking for time, having the contract already done, the time, space, money, and play with sexual, non-sexual. I will not share you. Are you willing to talk about sexual negotiation? If you are, then great. I think you're off to a good start. That's love, right? That's communication.
Yes, yes.
If you're not, that should be a huge red flag. If you're not willing to communicate, you can't love me and you can't love yourself.
Okay.
Or rather, you don't love yourself and you can't love me.
Yes. So you go in and try to negotiate moving, what I'm hearing, you go in and negotiate moving forward, but you can't keep punishing him for what he did. He did hurt you, but now there's a new, you're basically having a new contract on your relationship. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I wouldn't say, she can do whatever she wants, but there's a price tag on his side too.
Yes.
Like if you want to start over, you don't bring that stuff up anymore.
This
is a brand new relationship.
Yes. Yes.
If you're going to bring it up anymore, we're done. Goodbye.
Yes. Yes. And then they always say, well, how do I know he won't do it again? The relationships are a risk. You don't know if he'll do it again, but do your part and hope to God he does his, was always a quote from Dr. Allen.
Yeah, and it's also, that's how we build trust.
Yes, like, trustworthiness.
You know, communication, compatibility, chemistry. Obviously, you have the chemistry, and communication and compatibility. Am I willing to live a life that my significant other cheats on me? No, then we're not compatible.
Yes.
And, that can be the end of the statement. It's either you're true to our relationship, or you're not. And if you can't, if the answer is ever no, by your actions, we're over. Like, whatever the price tag is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how long I would stay in a relationship like that, but I've also learned to value myself too, which took a really long time.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say. Longer, much longer than I wanted it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, what would you...
Communication is key.
Oh, I'm sorry? Oh.
Communication is key. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, communicate. And that's what we teach at the One Institute, how to communicate rationally, not emotionally. And there's a whole set of charts on words, on emotional words and rational words. And it's on our website, drpatallen.com. If you look at that, it may seem foreign because we all seem to say you should, I need, will you. Those are all emotional. They're not very potent. We teach potent communication. I want, I do not want, I want you to, and I made a mistake. Not I'm sorry all the time or I apologize, because that's the whole list of how to speak rationally. And there's a list of emotional and rational communication. And that's what you were talking about. Watch people's language and you'll pick up on those that that speak emotional, and then you'll be able to identify and change yours to rational.
Yeah, you can change to rational and give them a price tag. The whole thing with, I got you. Okay, great. Have it follow up by action, then I'll believe you.
Yeah. Yes. Very true. Kelly, do you have anything to say on that behalf about cheaters? What you would think when the ladies, the guy cheats on them and they're mad and they want to punish him and never make sure he never does it again? What would you say about that?
Yeah, that's one of the things that they're always saying. Well, if I forgive him, then how can I ever trust him? And I said, well, you know, here's the problem. Here's one of the problems that you have to understand. If you are going, biblically speaking, if you're going to forgive and you don't forget, you haven't forgiven. So here's the thing. Shake the dust off and walk on. Because if that's where your mindset is, that's where you're going to be. The other thing is this. Nobody, you can trust nobody until they've proven their trustworthiness. You know, we all have what I call a trust bank account. And if the person is constantly drawing to the point where they're overdrawn, that behavior continues. If you can't communicate and you can't negotiate the situation, then you got to leave. Here's the thing. If you cannot actually forgive them, and like Andy said, you're just going to keep bringing it up over and over and over again, just leave. Just be done, because actually you are done. And I have experience with that because my sister's husband cheated on her with his best friend's wife and my sister's best friend. And so she ended up forgiving him. But I'll tell you, over the course of the next 11 years, every time he was late, every time this happened, every time that happened, I would get a phone call. He's late. He's cheating on me again. And I was like, this is like the worst possible way to live. If you have to like track your man, you know, I mean, they didn't have AirPods at that time, or, you know, AirTags at that time. But if they had, if I have a feeling she would have had an AirTag on the guy. So, you know, I said, what are you doing? This is your misery. You live in misery. You're always wondering what he's doing. Is he really at work? Is he really this? Is he really that? Like, you don't trust him and you haven't really forgiven him. You just keep bringing it up. So I think
What were their reasons for staying with him? Hoping he changed.
That was a complicated thing. He actually worked for my father. And so... you know, and he made a lot of money working for my dad. She had a stable life. She had a beautiful home. She had a brand new car. So he treated her with material things well. However, he was never a warm and fuzzy person. He was just kind of always austere. And so I was like, I don't see any difference in him, really. He just seems like he always has seemed since when you first married him. So, but I didn't live with him. But he just wasn't any different than he ever had been, in my personal opinion. So whatever she was seeing, whatever she was sensing, you know, and it did turn out that he actually was cheating, you know. But it's like I said to her, well, you know, what was your price tag? And she was like, what do you mean? I said, well, you just allow it so it continues. But, you know, if you continue to accuse somebody of something, eventually there's a weird thing about people. They'll do it. Well, I'm getting accused of it anyway, so I might as well just do it. It's another thing that Andy sort of alluded to. It's like asking for forgiveness is easier than asking for permission. So that was his point.
Oh,
yeah, I want to comment on something.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys talk about forgiveness. I decided soon after I got into Pat Allen that forgiveness was too high of a bar for my capability.
Uh-huh.
But I could accept another human being. And the whole 51% valuable, if they're 51% valuable or more, I can accept you as you are.
Yes.
Warts and all.
Yes.
But to forgive someone was too godly of a measure that I was not able to get to.
Okay. Can so you?
I could accept, I could reject, but I wouldn't tolerate anymore either.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that tolerating is on the borderline of forgiving them. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Well, you know, toleration is half love, half hate.
Yeah.
Acceptance, as long as the relationship is at least 51% viable, stay until you can't stay anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when you're done, it's apathy and empathy. You know what they have, you don't want anymore, and you feel sorry for them.
Yes.
If you're still angry, stay, because it's like going through a 14 rounds of a 15-round fight. And you just didn't finish it, and you got to find someone else to finish the fight.
Yeah.
Until you do finish the fight, finally. And then you qualify for better.
Yes.
I read an interesting article today that somebody had a bad relationship, and she left it. And a lot of people just said, oh, I'm sorry. And one of her professors said, congratulations. You qualify for better.
Oh, that's a good point of view. But was she over him? Yeah. Did she have empathy, or did she leave too soon and not learn the lesson?
She learned she had value and it wasn't worth being in a toxic relationship.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Sometimes you have to leave in order to take care of yourself, because you can't change that person. It's really hard. They don't want to accept the person the way they are, and they don't want to reject it, and they don't want to tolerate. And it's like, well, what else is there left?
Yeah, I haven't met too many people that want to change. They all want someone else to do the work.
They all do. They want them to change. And they drill on them to.
And I was guilty too. It's why
I was guilty too.
I'm like, well, this is not working. So something has to change. And oh, gee, I guess the only thing that's common amongst all this stuff is me. So, you know, let's see what I can do.
Yeah, and Dr. Allen has this thing that she talks about. Look within yourself for change, you know, like all of her tools. Instead of having them change, look and you do the work, and then you'll attract better quality people. You know, you'll have a different mindset and a different picker when you learn new skills.
Yeah, when I want to blame other people, I look in the mirror and I say, you, it's your fault.
Everybody does you. I critique people's letters and I circle all the U's and I go, you're going to get a bad response sending this. You're pointing out too much conflict. This is not going to get a good result.
You know, except when you're standing in front of the mirror, then you're like, oh, damn it. Who's left? It's just me. Crap.
You can only speak on your behalf. I statements. Remember that old, I just remember all the self-help books. State from your I, not you.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
because the game.
Again, it takes
you.
It takes
this, you feel that. Sorry.
I'm sorry. There's two people talking, but okay.
No, I was just saying it takes two hands to clap. In a relationship, both parties are supposed to be doing the work. If only one person's doing the work, it's pretty difficult to clap.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's also when you're pointing your finger at somebody else, you still got three pointing right back at you.
Yes, I agree.
Like, go away. Go away, fingers. So what other, besides cheating, is there any other, like, major pain points you've heard about?
Most of the women, they like the model, but then they want to try and change things they don't like about him. You know, it's like that old, I like this model, but I want him to da 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 da. Like, oh, we can't change the person. Is he 51% valuable? Well, he does this. I go, is he doing anything illegal, immoral, unethical, or hurts your body? No, but I don't like the way he holds me. You know, oh, it's the white socks syndrome. Pat always talks about, I can't fall in love with him. He has white socks. I go, you'll always find something wrong with a person.
Yeah, I like to also point people to page 218 of Getting to I Do.
Okay. And what's that about offhand? Yeah.
Healing old wounds, but doing it through nonverbal means. You know, bubbles, warm bath. Someone brings snacks. Someone brings bubbles and was an hour or two of non-communication, verbal, only through physical. Oh, you want them to do something? Here, let me guide your hand to this. You know, it helps. It reminds people that there are other ways to communicate besides verbally. And you don't like the way he holds you? Good. Put his hands here and put his hand there and take a deep breath. He'll get the hint. Like, he'll know. Oh, I really like the way she sighed at the end of that. Or, you know, I really like whatever she did. I want to do that again. I want to repeat. So I'm going to do whatever it is, wherever she put my hands, exactly there again, times 1,000. And guess what? You just change behavior without saying a word. As long as they're, you know, willing participant.
I think that's 100% on the mark. And, you know, Pat talks about not asking for more, better, or different, and Sue's right. I have a lot of experience with these women where they've gotten this guy, and then all of a sudden, it's what I call the nitpick session. They're like, well, he does this, and he doesn't do that, and he does this, and he doesn't put the toothpaste cap on. I'm like, well, I just have a question for you. He didn't put the toothpaste cap on this morning. But, you know, he brought you a coffee while you were in bed, and, you know, then he left for work, and then he was hit by a train. How much does the toothpaste tube lid really matter? Like, why are you nitpicking? You're nitpicking. This guy does all these things for you. He's a wonderful person. He's a great communicator. He cares about how you feel. He listens to you, blah, 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 but he doesn't put that. You know what? I'll just throw the toothpaste tube and the lid in the trash. It's like you have to pick your battles, but they want to battle on everything. Everything. Yeah. They just want to nitpick him to death. And I'm like, you know, so sometimes I will shock them and I will say, oh my God, he's horrible. Get rid of him immediately. And they're like, well, I don't want to get rid of him. And I'm like, oh, well, I couldn't tell because like everything he does is horrible. Well, no, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. You said that. You said everything he does is awful. He's just the most horrible human being on the planet. Now you don't want to get rid of him. Where are we going with this? What are you really talking about here?
Yeah.
They do that.
She always tells the people, then feel free to be a spinster. And they always just like, what?
I took that from her because these women will say that to her and she'll say, well, we can plot his murder. You can murder him. And then they're silent. They're absolutely silent. And I'm like, perfect. That's perfect. Because really, truly, like, you know, what can you do? So he doesn't put the lid on the toothpaste. Pick it up and put it on. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, you're
to destroy a whole relationship over something.
You know, besides the toothpick, there's a lot of things where they don't like the way he chews. They don't like the way he, you know, lays around and watches TV. I mean, it's more than just that. They pick apart his character and who he is. And that's what you have to accept or reject. That's the 51% valuable. They want the perfect man.
But the other thing is they seem to think they're perfect.
Wait, let me hear Andy here. What, Andy? What?
To get a little away from murder. instead of murder, how about we just talk about, okay, I'll tell you what, let me flip this coin. If it comes back heads, you have to stay with them. And if it comes back tails, you got to leave today and never talk to them again. Are you willing to do that? No, that's too much. No. Okay, then they're at least 50% valuable.
Hey, that's a good, I like that. I'm going to do that. Yeah.
And on the, I ask them, on the days you hate them the most, why do you come back?
Yeah.
What's the one reason? And they'll come up with whatever reason. I know Pat's was the desk and the rugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't want to separate the two. That was her whole reason for coming back. Like, give me one reason. Oh, he does this. Great. Now he's 51% valuable.
Today.
As long as he's 51% valuable, stay until you can't stay anymore.
Yeah.
If the day comes when you said, I don't even want you to flip that coin because I don't want a chance ever going back to that pool.
Oh, yeah.
Then you know they're not 50% valuable anymore. Then you can leave.
Yeah.
And you're not angry either.
Yeah, that's a good point. That, I like that, tossing the coin. I'm going to use that next time with my babies and throw them off guard. I think a lot of women, what is it that women just want to bitch and moan about the guy, but when you give them a direction, they don't want to do it? Is it that they just need to vent, or what is that? And Andy, you answer that. I don't know. I'm a girl, but I know I like to vent a little bit, but I don't kill it with the, I don't keep beating the dead horse.
What are the five things that women have the right to do automatically? First
what?
Two. What? Bitch and moan.
Yes.
The second two are teach, preach, and question, right?
Yes.
Guys have a right to teach, preach, then bitch and moan and question.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's kind of, I'd say that's their nature, because I haven't met a woman who doesn't bitch to some degree.
Or yeah, that's true. But it's important to make an appointment first. If you, before you want to teach, preach, bitch, or moan, make an appointment.
Yeah, you know, that actually drove home yesterday. There was a guy at work that came in and just started complaining about it. I'm like, hold on a second. You are in the wrong side of my brain to even remotely handle this appropriately. And it took me a few minutes of him complaining for me to get out of that mode and go, okay, so what are you trying to do? What are you?
Oh, really?
Are we out here?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was automatic. I'm like, I said, hey, just for future reference, if you want to come in and complain, you're welcome to, but just ask first.
Yeah.
I'll say yes, but just ask.
And what? How did he take that?
He's thrown off.
But did he ever do it again the way you wanted him to?
He actually just thanked me for letting him complain and walked out, and we're fine after that.
Oh, that's good.
But it took a minute to figure out what you're doing versus what I'm prepared for.
Yeah.
Are going to collide in a not a good way.
Yeah.
But if you do this, I'm willing to do that. If you say, if you ask for permission, I'll tell you yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to hear what the problem is.
Yeah.
And if I can fix it, because that's what I do, right? I'm a guy. I want to fix it.
Yeah.
But you got to warn me.
Yeah. You can't just plow in and just dump on you. No dumping. That's one thing. We teach you how to use the tools. But we're running out of time here. Unfortunately, we didn't get any callers today. That's unfortunate. But I want to offer again some advertisement that Kelly and myself, and even Andy, if he wants to be available, we are trained by Dr. Allen to teach the communication tools, and that's good for relationships, work, or even with your family members. We'll teach you how to talk rationally, not emotionally. If you want information on any of our services, you can reach me at 949-723-0338 or info@drpetallen.com. And if you go to our website, drpetallen.com, we have a live streaming of chemistry, compatibility, and communication. That teaches all of Dr. Allen's tools. You've seen that, Andy. You were at that seminar. You were one of the people. What would you say that the people would gain from that, watching that video? And it's free, free access.
You know, I actually still own that video and on YouTube.
Yes.
And we still get subscribers for that.
Yes, it's available.
I still get the comments that they just love it. I've never heard a bad thing about it once.
Yes. You know, we do our best. We're a nonprofit, so we're here to try and help the world communicate more lovingly. So that's our gift back to the people, is to teach them how to communicate lovingly and rationally rather than gamey or emotionally. And all of us were taught by Dr. Allen, so we're all available to help. Andy, would you like to be on the show in the future again? And we'll have Dr. Pat on and you guys can chit-chat.
It would be an honor.
Thank you. Kelly, you have any closing words to say to the audience?
I just want to tell everybody we're so glad you tuned in tonight. Andy, thanks for being here, and we love you all. Mwah. Bye-bye.
Well, next week. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Kelly, too.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.